Time. You know, that's kind of an amazing thing. As we're mindful of what's going on in the world today, many times people are looking for signs. You know, I can't help but think about Miss Frances here just for a moment. She's got a son and a grandson that's serving overseas right now. And so, you know, we all have special people. And we're asking God, do some very, very special things. Do you ever look for a sign? You know, when you hear about earthquakes, you say, in the last days. When you hear about wars and rumors of wars, you say, yeah, the last days. Well, if God gave you a sign today, would your life be any different? For instance, my sister-in-law told me a story by her sister, by her first cousin, by a friend of her first cousin. Okay, now I don't know what that makes that person, but this is what I know, the story that was told to me this week. She said that her husband and wife were going in North Carolina. They were driving north. And on the way, the husband looked over and saw this hitchhiker. And when she saw the hitchhiker, the husband said, I'm going to stop and pick him up and take him wherever he goes. Now, ladies, what would you have thought if your husband would have said that? Okay. And that was her reaction. And she said, no. And the man said, I'm going to stop and pick him up and take him wherever he goes. So he drives past him, turns around, gets back in the four lane, goes up to where the hitchhiker is, stops, invite the hitchhiker in. And when he got in, he says, look, I'm going to take you wherever you want to go. And the man says, well, thank you, but all I want to go is four exits up. So they take off going, and it's not many miles up there. They hit the fourth exit, and he says, right here. And the man says, no, wait a minute. He says, I want to take you wherever you want to go. And he said to her, said to the husband, said, well, this is far enough. This is okay. And he said, well, is there anything I can do for you before you get out? And he says, no, but I do have something I'd like to say to you. And he says, his lips are on the trumpet. He turned to his wife and said, did you hear that? And turned back to the man, and he was gone. Now, that's what I did too. I call it the gospel goosebumps. But just a sign, you know. If that would have happened to you, would your life be any different today? Some people are looking for signs. And as they go across the signs, when they're looking for, they're dazzled, but the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ, as He speaks to us in this Word, He has so much for us today. Folks, we need to go back a little bit and pick up on what God's saying. Because I can truly believe, oh, Gabriel's tuning up, and it's not that far away. His lips are on the trumpet. But until then, what are we going to do? Until that special moment in time, I think what we are to do is to go into God's Word, dig deep, and find out what is God going to say to us. Because I want to take you to a group of men, and this group of men found in Matthew chapter 16. And keep your Bibles handy, because we're going to be reading through this whole chapter in the course of this morning. Verse 1 says, then the Pharisees and the Sadducees came, testing him, and asked him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When the evening you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. Isn't that amazing? What the Lord Jesus is saying, the wicked shall be what? They're seeking a sign. I wonder if in our life today, how many of us are seeking after signs? If we are, does that category us in a group that's saying, God's telling us a very plain message here. He says, look guys, it's not the sign. But one of the amazing things that I see in this is, what can you give the sign of a lost man? You can give him the sign of Jonah. The sign of Jonah, because when you begin to look at this lost man who's traveling this journey, he all of a sudden he looks up and he can read a map. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who are these? Oh, let me give you background. These guys, the legalists, that's the Pharisees. The Sadducees, that was those who were politically in charge. And so therefore, those who were the ritualists and those who were politically in charge got together. They went to Jesus and they were going to test him so that they might lower him, tear him down, defeat him. But Jesus says, look, you're wanting a sign? Oh, you're not going to get one. But this, amazing to me, how that Jesus gave the wicked and adulterous generation the greatest sign that he could give, the sign of Jonah. But now, do y'all remember who Jonah was? Y'all remember Jonah? Oh, Jonah, if I said the guy that was swallowed by a whale, would you remember Jonah? Yeah, you got him now. That's the man Jonah. Because you see, in Jonah chapter 1, he's running away from God. In Jonah chapter 2, he is being a popping bug. Y'all know what a popping bug is? Man, y'all hadn't lived, y'all hadn't watched a brim meet a popping bug. You go out and go fly fishing, all of a sudden that, you throw that little fly out there and that old brim goes off there. Got him. I mean, you got to try that sometime. But anyhow, in chapter 2, he was a popping bug. And so therefore, he was swallowed by this whale, went down. 3 days he was in the belly of the whale, and on the third day, there's nothing that'll make a fish sick more than a rebellious preacher. Okay? And it made this fish sick. And so all of a sudden, this fish threw him up, and then he started in Jonah chapter 3, he started running for God, and then in Jonah chapter 4, he started running ahead of God. He said, God, I want to destroy these people, and I told you you wouldn't destroy them. But anyway, that's Jonah, a rebellious prophet. So it was a rebellious prophet's prophecy that was given to this wicked and adulterous generation, and the prophecy was, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days, even so must the Son of Man. What happened to Jesus? 3 days, and then he was resurrected. That's all the sign a lost man needs, is to follow in the resurrection. Point a lost man to the resurrection and he will find his way. In John 11:25, the Bible says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? That's what he asked Martha. Do you believe this? So therefore, give a lost man a sign. But the sign is the resurrection. And when he goes toward the resurrection, then he will find his way. There's another picture that I want you to see right here in verse 5. And now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten the bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O ye of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have not brought no bread? Do you not know, yet understand, or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets were took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? But to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the scribes. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven, but to beware of the leavened bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the scribes. Well, what is happening right here? As we begin to look at this picture, and we're traveling this journey, there was a lost man all of a sudden who needed the way, and so therefore Jesus threw up a sign of the resurrection. But as this man is traveling in this journey, all of a sudden there becomes a warning. There's a caution sign that's coming up here. Caution! Caution! Beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the scribes! Because you see, for Jesus, What the scribes and the Pharisees were teaching was a present and real danger. It was trying to take people and to lock them back to the Old Testament, say, you've got to work your way to heaven, when all the time Jesus is teaching us, it's by grace. It's by grace. It's by grace. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were the political leaders of that, say, look, if you're not politically correct, you're gonna be going the wrong direction. Now, what is all of this developing? What we're seeing right here, the sign of unleavened bread is the sign saying, beware false doctrine. Beware false doctrine. Now, it's running rampage in our country. If any of you got cable, find Charles Stanley this afternoon. If you've got the upper channels, David Barton is speaking. David Barton with Wall Builders. And he's talking about the history of America. And if you will go back and if you will find out the history of America, you will discover, hey, look, 52 out of the 54 men who signed the Declaration of the Independence were strong Bible-based believers. Folks, we got to go back. Because today many people are trying to say you got to be politically correct, or else you're going wrong. Listen, folks, they've taken the word out of the school, and for the first few hundred years, do you know what Congress told the schools to teach? The Word of God. And somewhere, some high-ranking, I don't have a nice word, so I'm not supposed to say anything, right? If you can't say something right, don't say nothing. Somebody in our past history, all of a sudden, they got so smart, they say, we can take it from here, God. We don't need you anymore. And that's what's happened. And that is the leaven of the scribes and of the Pharisees trying to say, separation of God and country. We don't need God anymore. We don't need to say a pledge of allegiance. One nation under God. We don't need reminding every time we pick up old George and we see in God we trust. We don't need that anymore. They're trying to say everything. Let's go because we're America. Listen, folks. Let's be America. Let's be America. And America was a Christian nation. And anything that goes against America being a Christian nation, that is the danger in which we need to be watching for. The scribes and the Pharisees, that's what they were promoting. And listen, let's just get this thing current, okay? Let's just go ahead and take all the smoke away. And our Congress last night voted for a bill that says, everybody's going to get health care now, but attached to that... attached to that or inside of that, there's the provisions now where our tax money will go and kill babies. Now let's just get the smoke away. It doesn't matter how good the bill, anybody that seeks to go against and take babies' life, that's false doctrine. That is of the scribe and the Pharisees. No matter how good an overall bill may be, when you attach it to the taking lives of children in abortion, folks, you're going down the wrong direction. And that is where we've got to understand. We've got to go back to what the Scripture says, thou shalt not kill. And listen, folks, those are babies. Let's don't kill them. One writer said they're putting out a contract now to kill babies, unborn babies. Listen, folks, that's where Jesus said, beware. It's not the leaven. It's not the food that he's talking about. He's talking about false doctrine. And so therefore the Lord Jesus is very plainly telling us right here, beware of the doctrine of the scribes and of the Pharisees. Beware of these things. Matthew 7, 15 through 20 says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bring forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth corrupt fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth good fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now listen, folks. I think there's some bad apples that are falling around the tree. And I believe in God's word, and I believe that God will judge when people do things wrong. It's somehow that even so much that I think that we need to back up and say, David, what happened when the wicked men... Turn with me to Psalm 26. I want you to read this. I found this in my Bible study the other morning. I hope you have a Bible study that you and God get along and y'all talk a little bit and you read a little bit each morning or each evening. In Psalm 26, verse 9 says this, "Do not gather my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands is a sinister scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My foot stands in an even place. In the congregations I will bless the Lord." You know what we need? We need a president who will stand in the congregation of the Lord. You know what we need? We need congressmen who will stand in the foundation of the Lord. If not, David said, "Do not gather my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men in whose hands is a sinister scheme." There are schemes that are going on. What should we do? What should we do? Well, point to travelers on this journey. You got dangers that you're going to have to go back to the truth. Go back to the basics. Okay? Now, Jesus is taking us down this trip. And all of a sudden, the first thing he wants us to do is, guys, let's focus on the resurrection. And after we focus on the resurrection, let's put some warning signs on this road. Because when it's coming, each of us are going to have to face those warning signs. But when you come along in that journey, there's another sign I want you to see, and that's the sign of the Messiah. And I'm going back to Matthew chapter 16, and I'm going to pick it up with verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And some of them say, "Some said John the Baptist, some said Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." But he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I will say to you, Peter, and on this rock, that I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever you bound on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. What kind of sign are we looking at right here? This is the sign of the Messiah. Because the sign of the Messiah, in reality, is going to point us toward a narrow road. It's not a broad. The broad way leads to destruction. The narrow road leads to life. And it's, what is your understanding? In fact, if you want to know your person's understanding, what is your GPS? You know, global positioning system. Okay? Yeah, all right. You got a GPS on you right now. What is your global positioning situation right now? What's tracking you? Do you say with those that, hey, Jesus is John the Baptist? In other words, John the Baptist preached repentance. The main message that we ought to have today, and everybody ought to focus on John the Baptist. Or do you say that Jesus is like Elijah? What was Elijah? Elijah was a powerful prophet. He performed many miracles. And so therefore, oh, Jesus is the miracle worker. Is that who Jesus is to you? Then there's also those who are looking at Jeremiah. Some people call him the weeping prophet. Jeremiah was a prophet who preached the judgment of God. Oh no, when we preach about Jesus, when we say who is Jesus, he is a judgment. He's preaching judgment. Or some will say he was one of the prophets. As Moses, one would come like Moses, that he was just one of the prophets. Well, that's who Jesus is. He's a good moral teacher. Well, who is Jesus to you? Is he just a miracle worker? Is he just one who preaches repentance? Is he just one who preaches judgment? Is he just one who's going to come like Moses? Who is Jesus to you? You know, we really have to struggle this. Because this is the greatest question of all mankind. Who is Jesus to you? The most penetrating question we could ask somebody. Who is Jesus? Well, Simon Peter said, Jesus is the Messiah. That's it. That summarizes it all. He's the Messiah. Out of all that the Old Testament prophesied the coming of the one, His name is Jesus. Out of all the New Testament, the Bible is focused in on the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, He is the Messiah. And as the Messiah, yes, He can perform miracles. Yes, He can preach judgment. Yes, He can heal. Yes, He can preach repentance. Yes, He can preach about the resurrection. Jesus is all these things wrapped up in one. And Jesus said in John 14:6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And it was of this type of faith that Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, with this kind of faith, this is what's going to happen. The gates of hell will not prevail. All of hell can be turned loose against the church. And guess who's going to win? The church. The church. And listen, Jesus even went on to say, is Simon Peter, when you're talking and speaking faith, that what you say down here is already going to be said up there. Because Simon Peter was listening to what the Father was saying, and Simon Peter was stating this, and it was a known, done deal. The authority of the Father. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that we're going on a journey. And on that journey, we need to look at the resurrection. And on that journey, we need to recognize there's some warning signs along this way. But on this journey, there's a big sign up there. Jesus is the Messiah. And listen, folks, if somebody cannot bow before Jesus Christ now, they will bow before Jesus Christ in the day that's coming. Jesus is the Messiah. And if you want to help a man who's struggling in life, and you want to help a man who's struggling with addiction, and if you want to help a man who's struggling with pornography, and if you want to help a man who's struggling with a job or a loss of a job, if you want to help a man, point him to the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. And if you'll point him, but when you point him, also point out there are no detours. Luke 9:62 says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. What? No detours. No detours. I want you to pick it up with me in verse 21. When Jesus said, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and rebuked him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of man. Oh, man. I mean, when I begin to look at this, here's a sign. And on this sign, in this journey that this man is taking, this is a sign of suffering right here. And all of a sudden, Jesus Christ is telling him, now, wait a minute. Put your feet, be like Peter just for a moment. Okay, you just bought into this man, right? And you said, Jesus, wherever you go, whatever you say, I'll do it. And all of a sudden, now Jesus comes along and says to you, hey, guy, look, I'm going to suffer and I'm going to die. 3 days, I'll be in the grave, and then I'll rise again. Simon Peter, your best friend, right? One of your best friends. He looks up to you, he goes up to you, and he says, Jesus, come here a minute. Can you imagine saying, God, come here a minute, God. And he put his arm around him. He called him Jesus, but he was God, okay? He put his arm around him saying, now look, God, it's not going to happen this way. Can you imagine that? I wonder if sometimes that's the way we do it. That's the way we do it. Now, God, now look, this is the way I said, okay? Now you make it be done. God, you work it out the way I want it, okay? I think we do that sometimes. And Jesus says, no. He says, look, when you go contrary to the word, what's happening? This is what's happening. You're lining up with Satan. Back, Jesus said to Simon Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Who influenced Simon Peter to say those words? To me, it was none other than Satan himself. And Simon Peter bought into it that he could tell Jesus, this isn't the way it's going to work out. So what do we understand from this? When a man is traveling on this journey, we got to point out that, look, there's no detours right here. There's a sign of suffering. And look, for the Christian, there's a sign of suffering. Some of y'all didn't pick up on what Andy was thinking about a while ago when he made a comment. Andy, when he said that it was, let's be happy today because we're living in a country where we can stand free and we can worship here without any feel of threat. I believe I told it to you, but let me refresh your memory just a little bit. A few weeks ago, his mother came back from Indonesia. And while she was over there in Indonesia, what had happened was that she had received the word about a church that over there in which the people, around 150 people, were herded up. The doors were locked and they burned the church down over them. And so all of a sudden, when you begin to understand that, then it makes sense saying that, you know, we're in a free country right now that we... Oh no, if you looked in the papers today, what they're going to tell you is that the heating unit downstairs exploded and the people in the church were burned. But how many of us lock the church before we preach? And yet that church was locked. Come on, let's get real. So therefore, when we begin to understand like that in the infiltration of those who are contrary to Jesus Christ, listen, folks, we got to understand something. There are no detours on this road. It is a one-way road. It is Jesus Christ. And when Jesus said he was going to suffer, die, and rise again, and he tells us that we're going to suffer, we just as well get ready for it. We just as well get ready. It may come in different packages, but if you think just for one moment that being a Christian is an easy way, you better think again. Because if Jesus suffered, we are no different. And so what he tells us is that no man putting your hands to the plow, if you turn back from Jesus Christ, you're not worthy of me. And he made it very plain. He made it very plain. So therefore, when a man's traveling journey on life, a long life's journey, and all of a sudden the first thing you want to say is, look, here's the resurrection. Follow the resurrection of Jesus Christ and you'll find it. And then he says, but along this way there's going to be warnings. But as you go along this warning, also there's going to be a sign over here that says, beware of false doctrine, beware of false doctrine. And all of a sudden, it's when you're going this journey, all of a sudden, when you go through this section of the road, you're going to have pain and suffer. Oh, and you might say, now look, I don't want to have pain. I don't want to suffer. Then you're on the wrong road. You're on the wrong road. Simon Peter said, Lord, it's just not going to be that way. We're going to find another way. Jesus says, there is no other way. It is just one way. And so therefore, he tells us the sign of commitment. What we got to do? What we got to do, folks? We got to look at, let's look at this last phrase right here. Let's pick it up with verse 24. Then said Jesus to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desires his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it that a man should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in glory with the Father with his angels, and he will reward each man according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here today who shall not taste death till they shall see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. What are we looking at? What are we looking at? What sign can you give a man reading a map? The sign of commitment. Because the sign of commitment, when you sign the commitment, it points toward the kingdom of God. But when you sign up, here's three things that you must understand. Number one, if you desire to follow Jesus, number one, you got to deny self. Let him deny self. It's kind of funny. I was talking with Hughes in the hospital yesterday, but before I got up there, in my mind I asked, well, you know, what's the cost of being a Christian? And this is a couple of days before. I wasn't with Hugh, another guy that I had lunch with. And, you know, the cost of Christian, well, it's kind of like this. All of a sudden, here's a major football game. It's coming on TV, and you want to watch that football game. But at the same time, out there, here's a person who's in the hospital or in need, and you need to go and help that person out. Well, what do? It was funny. It happened yesterday. I wanted to watch this football game with this other team. I ain't going to tell you what that other team was. But I wanted to watch this football game with this other team. And at the same time, I just found out that one of our church members was in the hospital. So therefore, what did I do? That's exactly right. Went to the church member and visited with him. most amazing thing, when I got through visiting with them, I made it home in time enough for the ball game. But anyhow, that is beside the point. I did make the right choice to go and to visit. But you know what? Costing us. What does it cost you? It's going to cost your time. It's going to cost your talents. It's going to cost your life. It's going to cost you. Listen, folks, if Christianity does not cost you, then it's not Christianity. Because Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny his own desires. Let him deny himself and take up his cross, whatever yours might be. And take up his cross and do what? Follow me. Can you do that? Sure you can. Sure you can. If you do, you deny yourself, you pick up your cross, and you follow him, then all of a sudden you'll realize that what can a man give in exchange for a soul? What can this old world offer you that's better than eternal life? Listen, folks, if you'll just take 2 minutes, if somebody would put that on the headlines out there in this tripping journey, what do I want, eternal life or what the world has to offer? Many people will stay hands down what the world has to offer. Hands down. And so what are you looking at? You're looking at for whoso, what's going to gain in exchange? For the Son of Man shall come in glory of his Father and his angels, and he will reward each and every one according to his works. That's the reason we do good works. Not to be saved. But one day, we're going to be rewarded for that. Okay, you're on your journey now. There are many signs along this journey. And what do you see? Along this journey, the road's clearly defined. It says the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It also has many signs. Look, be warning, there's false doctrine along the way. And along this way, all of these roads are going to be leading to a place called home. But wait, if you'll listen, you'll be in tune with the sign of the Messiah. If you will follow the Messiah, you'll find some interesting things that happen. But on this sign, on this road that we're traveling, one of the signs says right there, suffering, suffering, suffering. And when you go through this section of your life, there will be suffering. But wait, when you pass through that suffering, on the other side of that, you're going to reach a place that's called the kingdom of heaven. And when you reach that place called the kingdom of heaven, you will be rewarded for your good works. Isn't that neat? All of us are on a journey. We're on a journey. Let's get fired up. Let's focus on the Messiah. Let's point people to the resurrection and let Jesus Christ bless us in the end. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, we are mindful of Jesus Christ and all that he has done. And Lord, it could very well be that his lips are on the trumpet right now. Lord, maybe old Gabriel's tuning up. Maybe that sound's fixing to occur. Lord, maybe our journey's almost over with. But Father, as long as we're here and we have breath, let us praise the Lord. Let us seek to do right. And I pray for our country. I pray for our president. I pray for our Congress. I pray for our men who are in harm's way. I pray for our military. Father, I pray for the churches of Jesus Christ today in both America and worldwide. Every place that you find a person who is in Christ, I pray now for that person that they might be encouraged, that they may walk in truth and in faith. Father, I pray for repentance of our nation. I pray for the repentance of individuals, Lord, as we make choices. And Lord, out of these choices that we're making, there are consequences. God, may we make a decision, but may it be a good decision. May it line up with the Word of God. And Father, it is my prayer today that you turn our country back to God, back in the direction in which the Founding Fathers so established this country. Lord, we need revival. God, I pray that when you punish the wicked for the decisions in which they are making, Lord, that we'll be separated from that, that we will not feel the pain and the suffering because of the disaster and the judgment that you're going to be bringing on those people who will kill forth the babies and make bad decisions, Lord. I pray, God, that you'll set the Christians free from that judgment and let us walk free, Lord, proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. Father, there are many people who are traveling on this road that we're talking about today. Help them, Lord, start with looking at the resurrection. Please, Lord, as you said in your word, lift up Jesus and he will draw all men unto him. So, Lord, we lift up now Jesus Christ. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, would you like to give your life to Jesus Christ? We invite you to come. If you'd like to give your life to Jesus Christ, I'd like to talk with you. As one young man came a couple of weeks ago and he gave his life to Jesus, others need to come. It doesn't matter what the age is. It's when you understand Jesus. When you understand Jesus. Let's help people point to the resurrection. Let's do. Let's pray for our country. Let's pray for our men, women who are fighting for us. But what's your decision today? What is Christ Jesus telling you to do as an individual today? Would you like to give your life to Christ? Would you like to join this church? Would you like to come to the prayer altars and lift up those who are in need? What is your need today? Let's stand together, and we're going to sing this song.